I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Telegraph. The Telegraph. Podcasts.
As Poland votes to decide its future government, the country will also vote in referendums on illegal migration. To discuss the surge of migration into Europe and the future of Poland, I'm joined by the Polish Minister for Culture, Piotr Gliński. Why is PiS calling a referendum on illegal migration?
Because this is one of the main topics, not only in Poland, but also in Europe. This is a real problem for us as Europe in a whole, but also we have some problem, especially because of the hybrid attack on our border from east, and this is purposely made by Putin and Lukashenko to use those illegal migrants for hybrid attack to destabilize Poland. And this, it's obvious for us that this is the goal, the main goal of this action. You know, there are enable to make trips those people from all over the world to Minsk, to Belarus, and then they are transporting them to Polish border and pushing them as illegal migrants, because there are some legal ways of entering border, you know, if they want to apply for asylum, it's possible, but they do not want. They want to go further to the west. And first of all, there are no, maybe there are some exemptions, but most of them are no war refugees. They are illegal migrants, and this is not the way of making migration policy. This is something which is uncivilized, and it serves as an attack, aggressive attack, using very aggressive methods to destabilize the political situation in Poland.
Some cynics.
And in Europe also, because this is the European issue, as you know. Everyone, every country in Europe feels this pressure.
We'll get on to the European connection as well in a moment, but some cynics have said that PiS called this referendum to merely increase voter turnout in the general election that's being held on the same day. What do you say to that accusation?
It's a regular way of making a referendum. It can be combined with election if there is an election. It's easier and cheaper, and also it's also a matter of mobilization of society, of public mobilization. I mean that it's normal. This is politics. We can't be, you know, hypocrites. That of course this is the political issue, because we have to say if we want to accept this danger, or if we want to defend our country and our community, especially that we, as you know, experienced a lot of very sad and difficult moments because of Putin war in Ukraine. We accepted millions of war refugees from Ukraine, and we would like to run our politics according to our rules. But first of all, our politics must be reasonable. We can't solve all problems all over the world. It's impossible, especially for Poland, which we are developing still. You know, we are after years of very sad economic situation during communism and so on, We are still under the average level of the development in Europe. We are going very fast. We are developing very fast now. One of the bigger increase in economy in Poland, which we observed during last years, but we are still under the average level. So we have to, first of all, be focused on our own problems.
You mentioned Europe, the threat of migration to Europe. We've seen massive increases in illegal migration to places like Italy in recent months. Obviously, in the UK, we're facing a huge problem with many illegal migrants coming through the Channel on small boats. Do you see illegal migration as a civilizational threat to Europe?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But this is it is caused, first of all, as we remember, by this famous call of Angela Merkel. She invited those people. This is the example of absolutely unreasonable and unresponsible politics. And look at this symbolic situation. From one side, Putin decided to use illegal migrants to make pressure on Europe. On the other side, Germany started the same from other position, other point of view, but the facts are similar. They invited those people because of some economic reasons, maybe there were some moral basis, but moral for what? For destabilizing Europe? Making troubles for everybody in Europe, crimes, rapes. It's absolutely horrible thing. And this politics is bankrupt now. So we have to defend Europe. We have to solve the problems, of course. But the problem, of course, is much more deeper. It should be solved on the global level. But there is no effective tools to solve the problem on the spot, yeah, in Africa, in Asia. So this is the main problem.
In the UK, many people criticise our Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, for his policy to send migrants to Rwanda in order to prevent the illegal migration. And they say that this policy is a racist policy. They say that these are asylum seekers, these are genuine refugees. What would you say to this argument that trying to stop illegal migration, trying to stop these genuine asylum seekers is racist?
It's hard for me to make any advices to your Prime Minister or to British people, because I don't know exactly. I've heard about this project. It was even mentioned as an example of solving problem. Probably this is one of the possible solution. If Rwanda, the situation is stabilized, as I know, if the conditions are okay for accepting those people, probably it could be one of the solutions. But from my point of view, the 5 points appointed and by our Prime Minister and by President now at the meeting, in the international meeting in Granada or somewhere, sorry, I don't know even, is very reasonable. We have to start with watching our border. Our borders, European borders, must be effective. We have to we have to solve the problem on the spot. We have to sign agreements with governments sending the migrants to us, like Tunisia or some others. It can't be like this. We have some tools to force them to be more reasonable, because this is the very aggressive politics. We can't accept it. Sending migrants to Europe is very aggressive politics. Of course, they want to enter our societies to get some social benefits, but this is something which will not solve the issue, and it's rather caused a lot of troubles in the future.
But there are some liberals who say that stopping illegal migration in this way is racist. What do you say to that?
It is not racist. It is not racist. Why it is racist? Those people are they break law. So the law is something which we can, which we have to respect.
They say no human being is illegal.
What does it mean illegal? They are asked to go to the place that they can live. There is no, it is not possible to accept everybody. You know, this is a blackmail, of course. This is the blackmail which is using as a tool for destabilizing our life. The states are organized, first of all, for defense their members, yeah, societies inside states or building states, and the borders and the safety issues are the main task to fulfill for states. So we have to respect this issue. Politicians are obliged to run according ethics of responsibility, not ethics of emotions. We are responsible for something much more important for everybody than only our personal feelings. It's sometimes difficult to understand for every average citizen, especially if he is or she lives in comfortable conditions, eating, sleeping, taking rest, and so on. But the reality is sometimes much more serious and cruel, and we have to make decisions which are responsible for everybody. It's also referred to the so-called multicultural politics. Yeah. Multicultural politics must be very careful, must be based on our knowledge concerning the social life rules. I'm a sociologist from my background, and I'm aware that, of course, we should support some kind of multicultural politics, because exchange of cultures, exchange of experience is okay. But not in a radical way, not in a revolutionary way. It must be evolution in this process of mutual exchange of cultural ideas.
So you want Poland to be a multicultural country?
Not in this understanding. I'm not. I don't want Poland to be multicultural. But I understand that it is possible to live and to exist in a society where there are different cultures, but not in the way which are observed now in Europe. For example, the first precondition, if you want to join some cultures or to accept people from other cultures, the first precondition is the respect to the common denomination, to the respect of common values. They have to, someone from outside, have to accept our values, our basis for existence of our community. The second is the distance between our values and these new values. So that's why it wasn't so difficult to accept millions of Ukrainians from different culture, but not so far from us, yeah? Similar to some extent. So these are main reasons. If you are dealing with a huge distance between cultures, you must be much, much more careful. You have used different tools of adapting people from different culture. And first of all, you have to watch how is going this process of accepting our main national or cultural values, as you call it. Because if we would like, if we accepting someone from outside at the cost of our basis, cultural basis, this is disaster. It's a simple way to make war, domestic war, and this is stupid. And of course, politicians are very stupid, or even being aware of this, that this is stupid, they are using this tool because they want to be liberal. They want to be, you know, better than you because they are they express their high human values and so on. Yeah.
But if this policy is a disaster, why has your government, Law and Justice Party, let in so many people from South Asian countries since 2015? There's been a significant rise in legal migration. In 2022, more than 50,000 Indians came to Poland, more than 5,000 Nigerians, around 5,000 Nigerians, 5,000 Bangladeshis.
This data, we have to deny this data. These data probably are based on so-called work permits. But it doesn't mean that our different institutions, first of all business, but also probably universities, they wanted to accept some people from outside just to make business with them as a students or as a workers. But of course, these are data concerning the, as I said, work permits, but all those people have been checked, and the number of visa issued for them were much more smaller.
But there's no doubt that legal migration from these countries has increased since 2015.
But these are small numbers, and this migration is under control, and this is because there is no unemployment in Poland. So we need some people, okay, to work. And they are hired only for the contract and not as a stable and constant migrants. So this is different, absolutely different. This is not true. Yeah, our opposition, they are using this argument that we accepted thousands of migrants. Can you see them anywhere on the streets? Not at all. But there are some people from this country in Poland. They have been for years. My example I'm using very very often is kebab places. There's a lot of kebab because people in Poland like kebab. Yeah? So there's a lot of people working in this industry. No problem at all. Thousands of them, no problems, no any riots. There was one case of this kind in Europe, in Poland, for many years, and a producer made a film on this topic. Yeah? Only once was some problem. We have thousands of them, they're accepted, there's no problems, there's no ghettos of migrants in Poland, not at all. So it's under control, I can say.
There was also an issue recently where it was uncovered that an embassy, a foreign embassy of Poland, was giving these visas to migrants from African countries in a kind of corruption
scandal. This is also not true. There were some reports or even photographs from Africa. And as a matter of fact, there was no Polish consulate in this country. There was honorable also, which can't issue the visa. So it's false.
So where does this story come from?
From opposition. These are political arguments against Polish government. This is not true. These are fake news and false data and so on. You know, there was a problem with some people coming back to the time where opposition was responsible for Minister of Foreign Affairs in Poland. They liquidated several or even more than 20 embassies and they hired private business to help the process of issues the visa. And this is the one of the reason that there were some pressures on getting visa quicker. But it's under investigation now. The Polish police realized that there is something wrong with it more than a year ago. It's under investigation and it's dealing with 268 visa. Only 268. So we are 40 million people in this country. So what does it mean, 268 people, even if they are here or they came here illegally?
So there is some truth in it, clearly, because the police are investigating.
Such a truth.
And it's possible that the 268 cases are the sort of tip of the iceberg. Perhaps there's a lot more.
They are under investigation.
Yes.
This is not proved. So, but this is the scale of the problem. It was used as make a political bullet against us. It happens in politics very often, especially if the other side have no other argument. So they are trying to find anything. And using it against us, but this is not true. Look at our streets in Poland. This is the most safety country in Europe. There is no any problem with riots based on multicultural problems.
But this is what I want to ask about, is diversity and multiculturalism, because politicians in the West, they say that diversity and multiculturalism is a strength. And, you know, I live in London and I see lots of different communities around me, and politicians say that this is a wonderful achievement, this is a great success. So is therefore Poland a weak nation because it lacks this diversity and multiculturalism?
It could be accepted, but only on the basis of common denomination which should be the acceptance of system of values any nation. And this is the first thing. The second is distance. And the third one is the scale. You know, it must be really a minority. And we can deal with it. We are strongly against European policy on migration, and especially this mechanism of distribution of migrants in Europe. We accepted a lot of Ukrainians. We are not responsible for the past, dealing with colonies also. And so this is absolutely unacceptable for us, and we are against this politics.
But do you see diversity as a strength?
No, I don't think so, that this is that you can say generally that this is the diversity is the strength. It depends on the situation, because we have an example of the Polish Commonwealth, the first Commonwealth of Poland, where were three nations, yeah, but the cultures were similar.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And there was king who united the Commonwealth, and it was good for any three nations, yeah, in one Commonwealth. And also British Commonwealth works, yeah, years ago. Okay, not your wellness, your affluent society. It was built on this politics, you know. Anyway, so I can't say that we are for diversity as a symbol or an idea. And this is something which is empowering country. It really depends on the situation and also how long these processes are going on. So first of all, as I said, must be respect to the common denominator, I mean the ethos, values and so on, must be not far, close distance, scale and probably time. So the fourth one.
Is Europe facing an invasion?
You mean that...
From migration.
That we are facing the invasion? In a way, this is danger for Europe. Yeah, that's right. So the Europe must be much more responsible and to defend. First of all, we have to defend our borders. I don't know why it's so difficult to understand for any nation, so that's why we defend our border. We were forced to make this border wall. So it was, it's not a pleasure for us, but there was no any other solution, so we have to defend.
On the 15th of October, Poles will go to the election and they will decide on their future government, and they will also decide on these referendums on illegal migration. Can you lay out the stakes for that election? What's at stake?
The stake is multidimensional. For me, the most important thing is to save our sovereignty. Poland has no other solution. We have to be independent country. Because before our government came to power, we were dependent on Germany. German politics bankrupt. We were between two very strong pressures from outside. So we have to be independent. This is about the sovereignty of our country. This is about of building our own resources for development. And we proved during 8 years that it's possible. We developed our economy. We are building the biggest army in Europe. We are building. We already made our energetic sovereignty, coming with raw materials, and we also build our cultural sovereignty. Building, for example, more than 300 museums in Poland, institutions dealing with our identity and history and so on. So it's possible. So this is about this. And of course, this is about also to deal with dangers from outside. One of them is migrants. Of course, we have even more bigger danger, I mean Putin and Russia, aggressive imperial state. So this is the stake of this of coming election. If Poland will save our sovereignty and possibility to develop our own politics.
Some in the opposition party, they say that inflation is very high. They say that, as I mentioned earlier, you've let in legal migration through the work permits, and they say that taxes are very high. Do you think that...
What taxes? What do you mean?
They say that the overall tax burden in Poland has increased under Law and Justice, and it's hurting working families.
Not true.
The Konfederacja is...
So this is another fake news. Absolutely fake news. The miracle of our development... decreased all taxes for business, for private people, also VAT, and we increased our economy at the same time. So this is the the dream of liberals, but it was made by Republican or conservative Republicans, not liberals. It's possible if state works, I mean, defending our interest, our budget, we decrease the generation gap from 25, almost 25% to less than 5%, which is nothing. We also diminish the rate of unemployment. We have probably, there is practically, or there is no unemployment in Poland, real unemployment. So this is the miracle from economic point of view, made by reasonable, wise politics. Yeah. And also it means that state works as a state. Yeah.
You are the Minister for Culture, and I want to talk about Poland as a conservative country. Now, Hungary, one of your allies and neighbours in Europe, they say that they are the strongest and most traditional conservative nation in Europe. Do you think that's accurate?
You know, it's hard to say. I'm not a best specialist on a Hungarian nation. Of course, we need a nation which is based on conservative or stabilized Christian values. I mean, in a broader sense of the word, Christians means people, not only people who are going to church, but those who respect these values, the values which have been built Europe. Europe is coming from these values. And civilization is coming from these values. So we would like to have a such kind of community, respecting values with traditional institutions, because those institutions work and serve people. I mean that they satisfy people's needs in the best way. And to avoid any dangers of contemporary world and contemporary crisis of culture, because there is a global crisis of culture. All this new ideological currents like cancel culture or first political correctness are very, very dangerous for everyday life. So, and they are also in a way unlogic, I can say, because there's a lot of discrepancies inside those ideologies. And we are aware of it.
There is a split, isn't there, in European Union countries between those Western liberal nations who believe in imposing their values on LGBT rights and things like that, and then in the East and Central Europe, there's Poland, there's Hungary, who are more traditional, who believe in the family, who believe in the church. Do you think that the EU is fundamentally flawed in this way, because you have this tension between Germany and France and other Western countries in terms of their liberal values, and then you have Poland and Hungary and other Central European countries and their conservative values?
There is a split. I don't know how it's in EU. I know that you have some problems that the Conservative Party accepting liberal values, but it happens. In my opinion, the main problem is that those what you called liberal values are very aggressive, and they are imposing their order. I mean, because it's connected with ideology and with some kind of vision of social public order. They want to impose this order on everybody. So this is why we are not accept them. There must be space for leave for everybody, but in a private sphere. But they are entering public sphere, and they want to impose those their values on everybody. So this is something which is the split between us. I do not accept such a thing, because this is, for many reasons, this is not good for society to live.
As Poland is in the European Union, and those countries try to impose their liberal values onto Poland, how do you see the future? How do you see the solution to that? Because this is a fundamental flaw, isn't it, within the European Union for Poland?
This is the stock is the future of Europe, the model, the future model of Europe. It's also connected with this idea ever closer union. Yeah? So we are for the unit of independent nations. They are for federalization, yeah? And for making a kind of European society, which is artificial, which is stupid, which will not work.
How do you overcome that?
Using tools which are possible to use. I mean that we will talk with them. First of all, we have to win election. And if we will election, we will have a mandate to represent Poland, and we will try to run this dialogue or discussion. There is a lot of arguments concerning, for example, the bankrupt of this politics, which is visible in any way. The international politics, the German-Russian relationships already bankrupt, but we also see the immigration politics also bankrupt. So they must draw conclusions with their activity. And that's why we still think that we will have to build this coalition of conservative parties and thinking. We are not radical, I think. We are very, reasonable. And in some, we believe also not only in natural law, but also in common sense. So this is, I think, our weapon.
Let's talk about Ukraine, because there have been some tensions between Poland and Ukraine recently over the issue of grain imports. And Poland has said we're not going to allow Ukrainian grain to be sold in Poland, but of course we'll allow it to transit to other countries. And Zelensky and other Ukrainian politicians have become very angry at this. And there has, as I said, there's been some tensions recently. How do you see the result of that? What's going to happen to the future of Ukrainian-Polish relations?
From our point of view, this is very sad, or we are disappointed because of this Ukrainian statesmen and politics, and we observed the German role in this. And Germany exert pressure on Ukraine, and they are, from the beginning, they were waiting for Putin, and they were waiting for the solution, and they were absolutely confirmed that the Ukraine have no chances. Now they change their approach to Ukraine, and they are building new relations with Ukraine. They want to realize their German interest in the Ukrainian economy, and this is probably the main reason of this change of Ukrainian approach to Poland. We are disappointed, but we have to defend our interest. Our interest is to put Putin as far as possible from our border, so we are supporting Ukraine, as you know, but we can't accept any un-Polish or economic policy of Ukraine. We can't, for this war, responsibility, of course, Putin is responsible for this war, first of all, but also this German-Russian policy. It should be solve at the cost of Germany, not on the cost of Poland, I mean, these economic problems. So that's why we have no solution. We have to defend our market, and Ukraine should be aware of it. So this is, yeah. And the other problem with Ukraine is that they are not still ready to let us to make searching and exhumation of our victims from Volyn massacre, but not only from Volyn genocide. So these are still problems which are not solved, and this is on the side of Ukraine to solve it.
Do you think that Germany should have a seat on the UN Security Council? This is something that Ukraine has been pushing for.
Germany? Not for many generations. First of all, Germany have to pay reparation to Poland for they made here. They killed almost 6 million Poles, Polish citizens, and they have stolen and destroyed half a country. Purposely, to make Poland not existing country, state or society anymore. So that's why there is no place in the civilizing world for Germany.
Thank you very much, Minister Glinski. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this show and are interested in hearing more episodes like it, please follow this podcast and drop us a review. If you have any suggestions of people you would like to be interviewed, you can let us know via the Apple Podcasts app.